So we're paying close attention.
Good evening and welcome. It is Tuesday, January 8th, 2019, Mayor of Authority Headquarters, and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting. I'll call the roll. Cameron Bogus.
Here.
Sean Carlton.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
For the record, Sean Lambert is not yet here. Item 3A, meeting minutes of the December 4th, 2018 business meeting. Are there any corrections or comments?
I did not have any.
I did not have any. Not hearing any corrections or comments, I'll move that we approve the December 4th, 2018 business meeting minutes.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the December 4th, 2018 business meeting minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item 3B, the minutes of the December 13th, 2018 special business meeting.
Oh, 18.
Any questions or corrections?
No. I'll move that we approve the December 13th, 2018 special meeting minutes.
I'll second.
It's been moved to the December 13th, 2018 special meeting minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item 4A, accounts payable for December 4th, December 15th, and December 31st of 2018. Any questions on the accounts payable?
No. I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for December 4th, December 15th, and December 31st, 2018.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payables for December 4th, December 15th, and December 31st, 2018. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item 4B, fiscal year 18-19. Any questions for the authority manager?
We need to go through his report first.
I didn't have any.
No, we're on item 4B of fiscal year report.
Oh. We're good.
Do you have any questions?
No.
No.
Okay. We're going to assign the fiscal or the
budget officer.
The budget officer. That's is item 7 on the agenda.
Yeah. That will come up later.
Okay.
All right. Hearing no questions. Tony, item 5, manager's report.
So under item number 2, we did issue a public notice for the HAA5 test results from November of 18. there was a letter that I sent back to the drinking water program. I don't seem to have a copy of it with me. And they responded to me via email that they had no other issues, that there's no other action required on our part at this time for the sanitary survey, and there was nothing else said about the HAA5, just other than the email I had to submit to them for approval, and they said it was fine.
Okay. So I had some people ask me questions. Why was the reason of such a time delay? And my understanding is, like, you send the testing in, that takes time. And then the report goes to, what, Greg Blair? Okay, or whoever, the drinking water services?
Uh-huh.
And then they notify us?
Well, no. The way that this works is that disinfectant byproducts goes to the lab. It takes several weeks to get the results back. When I got the results back and I inspect them and I see that there's that we were over the limit for HAA5, I contact them and let them know. They had just received the results, and then we talked about what needed to be done, and then the notice is issued. So we do another round of testing in February.
That's our quarterly
right
testing.
Yep, we do another round in February, And we'll see where we are at that point.
So, and basically by the letter that when the deficiencies and that you've gone through and on the recommendations and stuff?
That's the sanitary survey that the deficiencies have been corrected, and then we're working on the other items.
Somebody says, why the survey? I mean, did they come out and then check things? Is that why?
Yeah, they go through the entire water system.
And that's just what they kind of summarized as what might have been possibly the problem of things that need to be addressed. The question is, update on the emergency response plan? Is that been updated then?
We're working on it.
Now, does the fire department get, do they have a contingency plan or?
I don't know if they do or not. But our report is not public record. It's just for in-house use.
Oh, for our, okay. It'd be kind of interesting. I mean, it would.
It's not public record and the directors don't have access to it either.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, just for, if there was an incident of how their response would be for a chlorine or any type of a chemical the type of chemicals, and I'm pretty sure they have all that stuff on.
I think there's a lot of things. I think I'm hearing a lot of different things here. So the
sanitary survey is basically an overall view of the water system and what's going on. What you're talking about in our emergency response and vulnerability assessment, that is something we're required to do by law that looks at different, how we're going to respond to different things. We have emergency contact phone numbers. We have, you know, standard operating procedures. We have a lot of different things within that emergency response plan.
So if
and what's outside of that, or I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, outside of that is OSHA standards are separate from our emergency response plan.
Yeah, OSHA has.
So when you talk about OSHA standards and operation and chemicals there, that is different than the authority's emergency response plan.
Well, just for the public, I mean, as far as evacuation of whatever or things like that, that would be in the.
Yeah,
their emergency response type.
That's not in our plan.
Right.
No.
Have they ever done to know the area of the stuff that's here? I can't think it's been so many years. The fire department used to go in and do pre-plan for a fire or a possible chemical leaks or any of that. Has any of that?
No, we have to submit an annual report to the state fire marshal, which outlines what we have and where it is.
So they'd be able to access that to get the information and stuff.
Yep.
Has anybody ever contacted you from the fire department to find out what kind of?
Many, many years ago.
When Jack was probably here.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was.
Okay.
So his note of a deficiency was because the emergency response plan hasn't been updated in a while?
No, that was not a deficiency. That was a recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you.
That was on that page two, recommendation page. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
So just as a note for the record, because of in-house training and board training and whatnot over the last year, we have qualified for a 10% reduction in our liability insurance. So depending on what our new insurance is for the new upgrade, that could be a substantial savings. I've also noted that you've received a copy of the 17-18 audit. If anybody has specific questions on that, you're probably, your best go-to is going to be Michelle on that. So.
And Cameron, for your information, I think we'll be getting an email. The board members get an email from the auditor and a response to a questionnaire. And that should
you
be.
You should have
received
that. Or did
we already
do
that?
Yeah, you should have received that.
Excuse me, I'm not thinking clearly on the time frame.
So,
on the qualification of the 10%, that was like last year. And would we have to do that in a time matter of?
Okay, that's for our upcoming insurance renewal.
And that is.
And so there'll be new requirements for the coming calendar year, how to qualify.
June to July?
No. This is our calendar year, not a fiscal year.
Okay.
Yeah. The last thing I have is, as I've noted on item five, there's a request from a customer for us to pay for the replacement of a water filter to their refrigerator. The customer claims that the high chlorine associated with the HAA5 notice caused that person to have to replace their water filter. So the matter is really in the hands of the board.
Do we have a policy in place for this?
Not a written policy. The board's always said, no, we don't do that.
It's not our equipment, and therefore we can't upgrade. It's not provable that that actually happened at that site, let alone how much actually affected that particular water filter.
I don't disagree. I was asking a question.
Seems like a routine home maintenance issue.
I don't see that this would be an exception to our ongoing policy. I did not replacing.
Feel that way either.
No, I don't feel that way either. I would simply say that this is to me one of those examples of put it on the list as we're upgrading our policies and procedures and making them written. Mm-hmm. This is one of those things to flag and to put in there.
And I've done that to a note to myself as we were talking.
Okay. Item six, unfinished business, wastewater treatment improvement project.
I don't know where to start. There's so many things going on.
Just keep waiting.
We had hoped to seed the new SBRs this week. That did not happen. We're shooting for next Monday, the 14th. But there's a lot of things that have to occur this week. A lot of loose ends that need to be tied up. So if all goes right this week, next Monday we'll start seeding of the SBR. And following that, there's still a tremendous amount of work to do in other areas. And then the focus really for myself and the operations staff is going to be the biological process. It can take anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks for the biological process to get established and be running properly. So,
and that biological process, that's the bugs?
Correct.
Yeah.
So there's
a balance. I'm thinking for the benefit of our guests.
Yeah. Also, it didn't get on the manager's report in time, but I did apply for the MAO extension, and I just got an email back yesterday afternoon that they're going to extend it until the 28th of February.
Good.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's major. You have plenty of time to get our bugs balanced, functioning.
Hopefully.
That's what we hope for. That's all I have on that.
Okay. Item 6B on the strategic plan. At the last meeting, we talked about talking with a PR person, having them come out and talk to us. I followed the board's directive and contacted Lee Weinstein. Lee sent back an email very promptly and said that he was swamped and was unavailable. He recommended ART Public Affairs and very highly recommended them, and then also recommended four different other people. I looked at all the websites, and it was obvious that his highly recommended person stood out from the rest and was more experienced with public agencies and also more well-rounded in public relations as opposed to focusing on branding or marketing or writing. So I contacted Anna Richter Taylor, and she is available, and we are set to meet with her on the 24th.
From 12 to 3, right?
I think it's 1 to 3. So that's where we are with that, and I was wondering, if you would all be kind enough to, or even now, to talk about particular things that we've done or particular things that you'd like to see addressed in that discussion that's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding of sort of what we're hoping for is some sort of a guidance on interacting with the public, public relations, community outreach, that kind of stuff. I also think it'd be a good idea maybe from her to get just a, since we all come from different backgrounds, just a general idea on sort of the basics of, community relations, public relations, that kind of thing. Looking over her website, one thing that stood out on it that I'd love to get some insight from her on is organizing and preparing to prevent a potential crisis. I think that would be interesting to hear about.
I guess I would like to see us either provide for her before the meeting or at least at the meeting as complete a list as we can of the efforts that we've made over the last, pick a time period, 5 years, whatever time period we want to pick, but so that she has a sense of what our efforts have been. Mm-hmm. And that might give her an opportunity to say, you're not getting the result you want, is that really the question? Mm-hmm. Or have you ever done this? Or, as a point of conversation for her background, because this has been a topic of conversation for a long time, and we've had a variety of heads around the table and ideas from the public, and we've had a lot of opportunities. So I just don't want to see the efforts that have gone before go unnoticed or pretend like we've never done anything about this. We're all new to it, but obviously we're hoping that there's some refinement, perhaps, mm-hmm. that can come out of this effort.
I'd like to see the website and utilize maybe, our website also, for more information there.
And a good discussion of that would, right. Because we have a website, we make efforts at it, but if you don't go to it, it's like a library. A book doesn't do you any good if you don't go to the library and get it and read it. It's the outreach. How do we motivate people to use the resources, like the website?
Well, like our positions, Tony's positions, the upgrades, and things that are just...
There's a lot out there.
A lot of things going on.
Yeah, there's a lot out there to look at.
What we can hit and what is useful and what is not.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Tony and I will be talking with her next week.
Oh, good. Okay.
Bringing her up to speed, answering all of her questions, and then supplying with information before we get together the following week.
Great.
So I think we're on track. That's very helpful. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I kind of messed up on the agenda where I put that, but then I put two new businesses, and I only put one narrative for that. So okay. Whichever one you want to tackle first.
We'll do item 7 and 8 together. One will be A and one will be B. So let's do new business in terms of we need to appoint a budget officer for fiscal year 19-20.
I'll nominate Tony Owen as budget officer for fiscal year 19-20.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we appoint Tony Owen as our budget officer for fiscal year 19-20. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Second item under new business is our purchasing policy. Tony, you want to describe that for us?
I think this has come up before, but the most recent discussion or comments was with our new service vehicle regarding purchasing policy, and as I've noted, there were some questions regarding past practices and if the board has to meet to approve something like this, and like the purchase of the vehicle. And there's also some comments about, you know, this purchase is in the budget, can't, you know, the manager go ahead with this and just notify the board what's going on. And as I've noted, the past practices have always been for the authority manager to call a meeting for approval of items such as the truck. I mean, we're not talking about nuts and bolts, but something like the truck that's already budgeted. So, and the question is, has arisen whether or not to change that policy or keep it as is. So I just thought, since it's fresh in our minds, I'd just put it here under new business.
I think it's a bit of a challenge because everybody's time is valuable, and it is in the budget. And I'm wondering if something like, and I don't know, Tony, if this would even work for you, is something like if it's a budget item and if it's over a certain amount, that if something comes up, you notify the board via email, and that the board could request a meeting to discuss if they felt like it. But that if we had semi-informally talked about it before, or it was in the budget, it could go ahead without a meeting.
Yeah, I thought about this a lot, especially after that meeting. You know, I like the idea, especially for big ticket items, of just having that extra layer of whatever you want to call it, support or approval. And, you know, I think part of what the concern was this last time around was that, you know, the truck became available so fast, right? Mm-hmm. That was part of the deal.
And we lost the first one.
Right. So, you know, what I was wondering and, you know, kind of kicking around in my head is, you know, if it's a budgeted item, so we know that it's already in the budget, you know, could we maybe, I mean, you know you're going to be, if it's in the budget, you know you want to buy it, right? Or you know you want to purchase it. So could we maybe at the beginning of the fiscal year say, you know, we're going to throw out this, you know, 90-day or 120-day thing where we say, you know, if you purchase this vehicle for, you know, whatever, $50,000 or less, as stated in the budget, you know, then you're good. And if it doesn't happen in the first 120 days, maybe we come back again and renew it. You know, I like the idea of having some sort of control over, or control maybe is not quite the right word.
Oversight.
Yeah. I mean, I like that idea, and I think it's good for us to do, not only for our own knowledge, but for the public to have confidence in what we're doing.
Sure.
But certainly understand, especially what happened this last time around, where we almost lost two vehicles because we don't have the flexibility to turn on a dime. So, you know, maybe if there was some sort of a, you know, 90 or 120 day window where you could say, hey, we're in this window, here's what I'm thinking of doing. You know, are we good with this? I don't know, I was just kind of kicking ideas around in my head.
That makes sense.
So help me understand. So are you talking about that 90 or 120 day period would be something that would be a rolling function after the budget is approved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then at a typical board meeting, I'm trying to follow your thinking. At a typical board meeting, say the first of the next quarter of the budget, Tony might say, in this next quarter, I'm going to be looking into the purchase of a pickup truck. We've got the money in the budget. Mm-hmm. And so anybody have any questions? So not a meeting or a reapproval of the budget or anything like that, but but just a quarterly.
Well, anything that it would be a big ticketed item.
Not just a pickup truck,
but a set value or amount.
Well,
and just to be informed of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in general, you do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does that normally anyway.
Right, but with, say, a $7,000 pump, he'll go, I think you go ahead and order that and then let us know. But with a truck, it's usually been like, because it's, you know, three or four times that, we usually get notified and get agreement before.
Yeah.
So where is that, you bring
is
in the numbers,
a
where is
line?
That dividing line?
Yeah,
and I'm not sure that we know where that is, but I like the idea of
putting it in there for 120 days on the bigger ticket items.
Any dividing line is kind of arbitrary, because if you said $8,000 and it was $8,060.
Well, we budgeted $50,000 for the vehicle, and we're way under.
Yeah, we'd already budgeted it, right. So I mean, we knew when we did the budget that we were expecting to do something like that.
Well, and two, it's there's a recent thing. It's funny that you mentioned a pump, because I just had to order a pump and a backup one for a particular application, and between the two of those, I mean, that's in the budget as far as, you know, this would be in the 005 fund, and it's an infrastructure piece that something like that, normally I wouldn't, you know, call a board and say, oh, we need to have a board meeting to approve this, or this is what I've done. It's just, yeah, it's something that I have to do to keep the infrastructure up and running, and I think rolling stock definitely, you know, the board needs to be informed of what's going on. And maybe there's some other things. I mean, I'm not going to go and build a new wastewater treatment plant without the board of directors going through the whole process. So I don't know, maybe there needs to be some kind of delineation that trying to fix a dollar value is going to be really, really difficult.
That seems, well, arbitrary to me.
What if we were to start with the definition of rolling stock and use the 120-day piece and see how that works for us, and then modify it as we continue forward?
I can't imagine, you know, you can predict a vehicle, but all of a sudden something just blows.
Yeah, and in a situation like that, it would be an email to the board of directors saying, you know, this is an emergency, this is what's going on.
And that's where I think, you know, in my mind, kind of that distinction is, and I don't know that we have to specifically call, you know, narrow it.